Okay, this is a long one, so you can feel free to stand for as long as you can stand, or not. Numbers chapter 26. Then it came about after the plague that the Lord spoke to Moses and to Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saying, "Take a census of all the congregation of the sons of Israel from 20 years old and upward by their fathers' households, whoever is able to go out to war in Israel." So Moses and Eleazar the priest spoke to them in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho, saying, "Take a census of the people from 20 years old and upward, as the Lord has commanded Moses." Now the sons of Israel who came out of the land of Egypt were Reuben, Israel's firstborn, the sons of Reuben, of Hanok, the family of the Hanokites, of Palu, the family of the Palites, of Hezron, the family of the Hezronites, of Carmi, the family of the Carmites. These are the families of the Reubenites, and those who were numbered of them were 43,730. And the son of Palu, Eliab, and the sons of Eliab, Nemuel, and Dathan, and Abiram. These are the Dathan and Abiram who were called by the congregation, who contended against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah, when they contended against the Lord. And the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up along with Korah, when that company died, when the fire devoured 250 men, so that they became a warning. The sons of Korah, however, did not die. The sons of Simeon, according to their families, of Nemuel, the family of the Nemuelites, of Jamin, the family of the Jaminites, of Jachin, the family of the Jachinites, of Zerah, the family of the Zerites, of Shaul, the family of the Shaulites. These are the families of the Simeonites, 22,200. The sons of Gad, according to their families, of Zephon, the family of the Zephonites, of Haggai, the family of the Haggites, of Shunai, the family of the Shunites, of Ozni, the family of the Oznites, of Arai, the family of the Arites, of Arod, the family of the Adrodites, of Arili, the family of the Arilites. These are the families of the sons of Gad, according to those who were numbered of them, 40,500. The sons of Judah were Er and Onan, but Er and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Judah, according to their families, were of Shelah, the family of the Shelonites, of Perez, the family of the Perizzites, of Zerah, the family of the Zerahites. And the sons of Perez were of Hezron, the family of the Hezronites, of Hamuel, the family of the Hamulites. These are the families of Judah, according to those who were numbered of them, 76,500. The sons of Issachar, according to their families, of Tola, the family of the Tolites, of Puva, the family of the Punites, of Jasub, the family of the Jasubites, of Shimron, the family of the Shimronites. These are the families of Issachar, according to those who were numbered of them, 64,300. The sons of Zebulun, according to their families, of Sered, the family of the Zeredites, of Elon, the family of the Elonites, of Jael, the family of the Jaelites. These are the families of the Zebulunites, according to those who were numbered of them, 60,500. The sons of Joseph, according to their families, Manasseh and Ephraim. The sons of Manasseh, of Machir, the family of the Machirites, and Machir became the father of Gilead. Of Gilead, the father of the Gileadites. These are the sons of Gilead. Of Iazer, the family of the Iazerites. Of Helek, the family of the Helekites. And of Azrael, the family of the Azraelites. And of Shechem, the family of the Shechemites. And of Shemitah, the family of the Shemitites. And of Hepher, the family of the Hepherites. Now Zephophan, the son of Hepher, had no sons, but only daughters. And the names of the daughters of Zephophan were Mahlah, Noah, Hoglah, Milcah, and Tirzah. These are the families of Manasseh, and those who were numbered of them were 52,700. These are the sons of Ephraim, according to their families, of Shuleth, the family of the Shulethites, of Becher, the family of the Becherites, of Tayan, the family of the Tayanites. And these are the sons of Shuhulah, of Aaron, the family of the Aaronites. These are the families of the sons of Ephraim, according to those who were numbered of them, 32,500. These are the sons of Joseph, according to their families. The sons of Benjamin, according to their families. of Bela, the family of the Baalites, of Ashbel, the family of the Ashbelites, of Ahiram, the family of the Ahiramites, of Shephuahim, the family of the Shephuahites, of Hupam, the family of the Hupamites. And the sons of Bela were Ard and Naaman. Of Ard, the family of the Ardites, of Naaman, the family of the Naamites. These are the sons of Benjamin according to their families, and those who were numbered of them were 45,600. These are the sons of Dan according to their families, of Shuham, the family of the Shuhamites. These are the families of Dan according to their families. All the families of the Shuhamites according to those who were numbered of them were 64,400. The sons of Asher according to their families, of Imnah, the family of the Imites, of Ishvi, the family of the Ishvites, of Bereth, the family of the Berites, of the sons of Bereth, of Heber, the family of the Heberites, of Machiel, the family of the Machielites, and the name of the daughter of Asher was Sarah. These are the families of the sons of Asher, according to those who were numbered of them, 53,400. The sons of Naphtali, according to their families, of Jaziel, the family of the Jazielites, of Guni, the family of the Gunites, of Jezer, the family of the Jezerites, of Shillem, the family of the Shillemites. These are the families of Naphtali according to their families, and those who were numbered of them were 45,400. These are those who were numbered of the sons of Israel, 601,730. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, among these the land shall be divided for an inheritance according to the number of names. To the larger group you shall increase their inheritance, and to the smaller group you shall diminish their inheritance. Each shall be given their inheritance according to those who are numbered of them. But the land shall be divided by lot. They shall receive their inheritance according to the names of the tribes of their fathers. According to the selection by lot, their inheritance shall be divided between the larger and the smaller groups. And these are those who were numbered of the Levites according to their families. Of Gershon, the family of the Gershonites, of Kohath, the family of the Kohathites, of Merari, the family of the Merarites. These are the families of Levi, the family of the Libnites, the family of the Hebronites, the family of the Mahlites, the family of the Mushites, the family of the Korahites. And Kohath became the father of Amram, and the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt, and she bore to Amram Aaron and Moses and their sister Miriam. And to Aaron were born Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died when they offered strange fire before the Lord. And those who were numbered of them were 23,000, every male from a month old and upward. For they were not numbered among the sons of Israel, since no inheritance was given to them among the sons of Israel. These are those who were numbered by Moses and Eleazar the priest, who numbered the sons of Israel in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. But among these there was not a man of those who were numbered by Moses and Aaron the priest, who numbered the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. And not a man was left of them except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. Thus reads God's word. You may be seated. Numbers 26, 1 and 2. Then it came about after the plague that the Lord spoke to Moses and to Eleazar the son of Aaron the priest, saying, take a census of all the congregation of the sons of Israel from 20 years old and upward by their fathers' households, whoever is able to go out to war in Israel. We now come to what might be considered the turning point in the book of Numbers. The first generation of Israelites, the ones actually released from slavery in the Exodus, and who refused to enter the promised land because of their lack of trust in the Lord to go before them, have died off. The children, the second and new generation, is now ready to do what their parents chose not to do, enter in and possess the land. Once more, we turn to Dr. Ronald B. Allen and his writing on the book of Numbers contained in the Expositor's Bible Commentary. He provides a superb portrayal of both the introduction to this second section of the book, as well as his observations as to what is the heart of this whole of the writing in a most comprehensive explanation. Quote, "The book of Numbers is rightly named. Its organization is really quite simple. There are two grand sections. One, the census in preparation for March of the first generation and their subsequent failure and judgment, chapters 1 through 25. Two, the census in preparations for March of the second generation and the hope that they will not repeat the sins of their fathers and mothers, chapters 26 through 36. The first section begins with the preparation of a holy camp and is then followed by the material describing the rebellion of the people, their subsequent judgment, and their return to the desert to await the dying of the rebellious people. The chapters on priesthood, purification, and the like are included in this section as encouragements to the people. Even though the one generation will never be able to participate in the blessings of the land, yet those blessings have not been forgotten by God. The new generation may be making confident preparation for their day in glory. Then the story of Balaam comes as the new generation is about to have its opportunity. The pagan prophet is a foil for the person of Moses, and his attempted cursings of Israel are opportunities for God to renew his promises of blessings and to affirm them to the people. Thus there is in this incident tremendous assurance that despite all the sins, rebellions, and untoward actions of the people on so many occasions and in the most diverse of circumstances, the Lord is not only not finished with his people, he is more ready than ever to bless them and to complete his promise of salvation for them. Yet immediately on the heels of this monumental blessing of the people by their God, they rebel in the most egregious way possible. Chapter 25 records Israel's bowing to the lust of Baal Peor, the last rebellion of the first generation, and the plague is their last judgment, the final assault of God on wicked persons, the final dying of the people. Chapter 26 begins with the idea that after the plague, the Lord commanded that Moses do a census of the people. The expression after the plague is to be regarded as the turning point from the first generation to the second, the shift from the fathers and mothers to sons and daughters. God was about to begin a new work with a new people. The younger generation would begin to have their day. The second section of the book of Numbers presents only the positive, preparatory side of things. It deals with the taking of the new census, a demonstration that God has kept faith with the people in a remarkable manner. Despite innumerable setbacks and plagues that touched many lives, and despite the judgment of God that decreed that everyone over the age of 20 would have to die in the 40 years spent in the desert, the total numbers of the people remain nearly precisely the same. This is an enormous miracle, a great demonstration of the power of God to do His will and work even in the most unlikely of places. But the new generation will also have to face its tests. What those will be are anybody's guess, but they will not be easier than those suffered by their parents. The great question looming like a heavy cloud on the horizon is being asked all along the way through these last chapters of the book of Numbers. Is it possible that the new generation will finally be used by God to enter the land, to conquer the inhabitants, to displace them, and to enjoy the land that is God's great and gracious gift for them? Or is it possible that this new second generation will be like its predecessors? Will they also come to the lip of the land, send out their spies, and then find that the evil report of those spies will also dissuade them? God forbid. May the new generation be new. May they be faithful to God in all their house, even as Moses was for most of his lustrous career. And may they enter the land with joy and delight, praising God for giving them the opportunity that their parents had, but which they forswore. So the book of Numbers ends with a great haunting question. What will the children be like? Will they be like their parents? Or will they be like Moses and Aaron, like Joshua and Caleb, like Miriam and others faithful to God? Will they believe in Him, obey His command, and take up their weapons as they march in victory song? End quote. Some of the key components of the passages of this 26th chapter help to reveal the greater measure of the love and the grace and the mercy of the Lord God Jehovah. One of them is verse 51 in what Dr. Allen alluded to, which we have detailed for us. Numbers 26, 51. These are those who were numbered of the sons of Israel, 601,730. Consider the fact that in the first census of Numbers, chapter 1, the total of the population of those who were 20 years of age or older, ready to go into battle, was 603,550. These were the parents who then were prohibited from going into the promised land because of their unbelief. This was the generation that was led through the desert regions until all had perished. They moaned and they groaned and they rebelled and they complained and they committed apostasy and suffered the results of that despicable course of action until they were completely expunged from the ranks of the living. Yet despite all that befell that primary generation, the count of the second generation was almost the same. The grace and the mercy of God, which sustained His chosen people, went before them throughout their desperate wanderings in the wilderness, and they were still the strong and vibrant people whom God would use to inhabit the land of His promise. He showed His providential hand upon them, and they were able to remain a strong nation, before whom the Lord spread terror and fear among those who would try to oppose them. The next detail from this chapter is the fact of the results of the census. Just like the first census of the nation, the count was enabled to determine the strength of the tribes for going into battle for the sake of conquering the land. Sadly, that entire population, with only two exceptions, was never able to enter the land that was to be their blessing. They were lost to the sands of their wandering hearts. The second census has an element that stands out markedly from the first one. While the men were counted for the number of warriors to go forth into battle, this census contained an additional focus, which was never part of the first one. We read this in verses 52 through 56 of this 26th chapter. Numbers 26, 52 through 56. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Among these the land shall be divided for an inheritance according to the number of names. To the larger group you shall increase their inheritance, and to the smaller group you shall diminish their inheritance. Each shall be given their inheritance according to those who were numbered of them, but the land shall be divided by lot. They shall receive their inheritance according to the names of the tribes of their fathers. According to the selection by lot, their inheritance shall be divided between the larger and the smaller groups. This was a most positive detail that Moses was to announce to all the people. Not only was the census a count for battle, it was also the means of dividing up and distributing the promised land. This census went much farther in the preparation process for the habitation of the land across the Jordan. Each tribe would be allotted sufficient land for the number of the people in each familial unit. This was far more promising for the people than merely a count of the battle-ready men. There was a promise attached to this count, which foreshadowed their victorious possession of the territory of God's pledge to them. This was a feature that had not been put before the previous generation, because the fathers and mothers had shunned their faith that the Lord was going before them and had turned their back on His glory. Our final passage to consider in this chapter this morning is verses 63 through 65. Numbers 26, 63 through 65. These are those who were numbered by Moses and Eleazar the priest, who numbered the sons of Israel in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho. But among these there was not a man of those who were numbered by Moses and Aaron the priest, who numbered the sons of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, "They shall surely die in the wilderness." And not a man was left of them, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. There are a couple of bittersweet aspects to this passage. The first is that it was Moses and Aaron's son Eleazar who were to do the counting. In the first census, it was Moses and his brother Aaron. The difference here is that Aaron is gone, as was the totality of that first generation over the age of 20, with the exception of Moses and Caleb and Joshua. This must have been a most difficult task for Moses, counting the people a second time, with only the barest remnant of those who had gone through the plagues of Egypt and the Red Sea parting and all those 40 years of desert wandering. Once more, he was instructed to count the people of the Lord, but it was the children who were being counted now. The faithless parents were gone, including his brother Aaron and sister Miriam. As well, Moses was counting the people who would be entering into the promised land, and he was giving them instruction as to its division. However, he would not be the one to conquer or to divide up the land. He would not be able to join them on the other side of the river. He would only be able to see the land from a distance, but not enter it himself. At the first count, it was one of anticipation of entering the land. At this count, it was that of facing the futility of what could have been if the people had only chosen to trust the Lord. This count was his last hurrah of sorts. His time was at an end, and he would soon be turning the people over to Joshua to lead them across the Jordan. This passage highlights the holiness of God in the most poignant of ways. the first generation who had turned their backs on him and had defiled his sanctuary and had continually sought to be like all the other nations of the earth had ceased to exist. The Lord had provided for them with his grace and with his mercy for those 40 years as they died off. He had not wiped them out instantly, as could have been their just punishment for their idolatrous ways. No, the Lord made every provision for his people as he patiently waited for them to come to the end of their lives. As Moses would remind the people in Deuteronomy 8, 2 through 4, the Lord had been faithful to them even as they had been faithless to him. Deuteronomy 8, 2 through 4. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you be hungry, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. As well, in this passage, the grace and the mercy and the righteousness of God are highlighted as he allowed Caleb and Joshua to enter into the promised land. These two alone, from all the 603,550 of that first generation, were permitted into the land of milk and honey because they had held true to him. They had encouraged the entry into the land with the definitive affirmation that the Lord would go before them. They alone of that first generation were the recipients of that promise of God in the fulfillment of leading the march into the land of Canaan. The righteousness of God was seen in the inclusion of these two men who were the beacons to all of the faith that God will always fulfill all that which he promises. So be it. Then it came about after the plague that the Lord spoke to Moses and to Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saying, take a census of all the congregation of the sons of Israel from 20 years old and upward by their father's households, whoever is able to go to war in Israel. Amen.